Up in smoke, that's where my money goes. In my lungs.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. So you're looking to start a business. What do you do? Do you open up a little, I don't know, dry cleaning business? Maybe a nice little bookstore? Maybe a flower shop? What about a marijuana store? Well, in certain parts of the country, you can do that now, as the legalization of marijuana is now becoming a little bit more prevalent each and every day. But once you have your store, you decide, hey, I need a bank account because I just can't operate with all these rolled up singles in my pockets. So you go down to the friendly National Bank and you sit down and you say, hello, dude, after eating all of the free cookies they put out, hello, or brownies, I guess. Hello, dude, I need a checking account. And they say, that could happen. Why marijuana companies still can't get a checking account. Here we go. The lack of proper banking resources for those involved in legitimate marijuana businesses has been the running not-so-funny joke of the past several years. Businesses that supply medical marijuana in 23 states and Washington, D.C. have struggled to receive adequate financial resources, and the businesses that now supply marijuana for recreational purposes. I always love that phrase. You know, it's like going to, I don't know, go bowling or go to play a round of golf. So now, smoking weed is a recreational activity. Well, they have these recreational purposes in four states, and in D.C., they're running into the same problems. In some states, fledgling businesses are just beginning to make plans to open their doors. Welcome to Weed Depot, folks. As ballot votes in the November election secured the right to sell recreational marijuana in Alaska, Oregon, and Washington, D.C., adding to Colorado and Washington. But for residents in Colorado, the problem is all too clear. Through all the smoke. Without banking support, business owners can't apply for loans, deposit funds, or write checks for employees and suppliers. The result is an all-cash system that has business owners and politicians alike worried about the safety of the industry. Well, wait a minute. Wasn't one of the reasons why we decided to recreationalize marijuana in these states was because of the incredible tax revenue it would generate? If we're dealing with an all-cash business, you know what that means. How much of that all-cash business will actually be reported as business? But there may be glimmers of hope for a banking and marijuana union. The new developments are by no means all-encompassing or 100% stable, but they are steps toward recognizing those business owners like any other. And allowing them to open up legitimate savings and checking accounts is a huge step, considering most marijuana business owners have their accounts otherwise shut down. The New York Times interviewed a woman who has had 23 bank accounts canceled since 2009 related to her medical marijuana business. The biggest hindrance is that marijuana is still viewed on the same level as heroin, acid, and meth by the federal government. It's illegal. And because banks and credit unions retain insurance and approval from the federal government to operate, they're often hesitant to deal with anyone associated with the marijuana industry. Though Attorney General Eric Holder has acknowledged the danger of having large amounts of cash lying around because business owners can't open a bank account, the memos issued by federal agencies haven't cleared the way enough for banks to feel comfortable about opening their doors. There have been small steps, however, leading to even larger moves towards a solution. The Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, or FinCEN, a branch of the Treasury Department, issued a memo in February 2014 that was supposed to clarify the ways banks could provide services to marijuana-related businesses. The document mostly served to reiterate that the government thought marijuana was dangerous, but did begin to classify certain businesses as less of a priority for the federal government to enforce. Those became known as the Marijuana Limited category, but to the Colorado Bankers Association, that meant a continued red light for assisting people in the marijuana industry for fear the banks could face aiding and abetting charges or others for allowing drug money to enter their doors. To offer banks the reassurance they'll need against prosecution, the association's president and CEO Don Childers has called for congressional action. But in reality, the marijuana business's relationship to banking has been two steps forward and at least one step back. A bank based outside of Portland, MBank, is openly allowing marijuana business owners to open accounts and was the first to offer that option to people from out of state, namely from Colorado. Within the first week of doing so, five Colorado businesses had created accounts, and 30 more had pending applications at the institution. The bank has been in operation since 1995 and is operating under tacit approval that will continue to have support from the FDIC. But for those in Colorado, bad news quickly followed. A week after opening its doors to Colorado businesses, the bank rescinded its offer. Following national press, the volume of inquiries in Oregon, Washington, and Colorado has been so overwhelming that we don't currently have the infrastructure to adequately support all these customers, MBank CEO Jeff Baker said in a Denver Post article. Colorado is the farthest from our market area and the most difficult to provide the quality customer service to. Oh, that's a nice little PR move there. It's just too far away. We can't deal with it. Let's see. Another banking try. Fourth Corner Credit Union, a would-be financial institution in Denver, has already received permission from the state to open and conduct business with those in the marijuana industry. They've leased a building, and the final step is to receive approval for a master account from the Federal Reserve, which allows banks to make deposits into the federal banking system. That process, which normally takes a few days when banks have the state's accreditation, has yet to be resolved after 4 months. Though optimistic in its tone, the credit union's website doesn't give any indication when it will be able to open. Even if or when the credit union will be permitted to conduct business, the road ahead continues to be steep if marijuana legalization is a state-by-state movement. The Colorado Bankers Association points out that the credit union and others like it will still have to see if Visa and MasterCard choose to participate, for example, and will have to attain proper insurance. A larger issue is if the institutions will be able to have all the functions of most banks. It could certainly accept deposits once it's open, but the association isn't sure if other banks would be willing to accept checks or draw on those accounts, especially since the other institutions would be on notice that funds coming from the credit union are related to a federally illegal activity. In other words, the credit union could open accounts and marijuana businesses could stash their money more safely, but there's a potential that the money couldn't leave to be wired elsewhere for payroll, bill pay, or other purposes. That money would just be better in a safe. Perhaps the largest dose of hope for businesses with a need for more stable banking came in early January when marijuana-focused Privateer Holdings announced it had received a multi-million dollar investment from Founders Fund, a venture capital firm based in San Francisco. Founders Fund, run partly by PayPal co-founder Peter Thiel, has a $2 billion portfolio and already invests in companies such as Lyft, Spotify, and Airbnb. This is a milestone, said Taylor West, deputy director of the National Cannabis Industry Association in Denver. In an interview with the Los Angeles Times, it says there are real opportunities within this industry for outsiders to benefit, and it shows the industry is solid enough that an investment firm like this is comfortable stepping in. Founders Fund partner Jeff Lewis told the publication that the decision to invest in the marijuana industry was not a light one, but after several years of weighing the option, investing in Privateer Holdings seemed to be the best choice. Privateer Holdings has emerged as the market leader in legal cannabis, which we believe will become a massive industry within the next decade. Lewis said in the article, "We've been evaluating the cannabis industry for several years, and we haven't seen another company that comes close to Privateer Holdings in terms of strategy, professionalism, talent, expertise, and potential for growth. Only time will tell if other firms and banks come to see the industry in this same light." Now, there's no reason to believe that the legalization of marijuana on a state-by-state basis will not continue. Let's be realistic. It's going to occur in blue states as opposed to red states. That's just the way it is. I think it is very likely you're going to see the legalization of marijuana in several northeast states. Okay, I could see it in New Jersey. I could see it in New York. I could see it in Connecticut. I could see it in Massachusetts. Go all the way up the 95 corridor. And these are very liberal, progressive states. There are places in the South. There are states that will never, ever, ever legalize marijuana. And will the federal government ever step in to legalize it on a national basis? I don't know. I don't think that day is here yet. But I think we will see the states start to go one by one. And as it becomes more of a legitimate business, look at the amount of money that will be made from this. Just think about the alcohol industry. Think about how much money these beer companies make, these liquor companies make. We could be on the precipice of seeing these massive national and international corporations that sell marijuana. It could be starting. Look, 10, 15 years ago, did you ever think marijuana would be legal outside of medical marijuana? I'm talking about what they call the recreational use. Did you ever think it would be legal anywhere? And then once we get 20, 25 years out, and let's say marijuana use for recreational purposes is legal in 75% of the country, will there be a push to start to legalize some of these other drugs? This could be very, very interesting. We have casinos every 9 blocks in most places of the country now, and now we're following along with marijuana. What could be next? This is America Weekend, and I'm Ed Kalenge.
America Weekend.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call at 800-568-5857 because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get 2 free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, 2 free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-568-5857. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-568-5857. That's 800-568-5857.